You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
Well, it's a passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. Welcome in. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, weekly with Dr. Mike Roizen, the Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. I'm Joe Galewski. To reach Dr. Mike on the show, as always, the phone number is 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211. On the phone, on the email, udocs@gmail.com, Y-O-U-D-O-C-S @gmail.com. Here's Dr. Mike. Hi, Dr. Mike.
How are you, Joe?
Good. What can we learn from James Gandolfini's passing this week?
Well, James Gandolfini died of either a heart attack or cardiac arrest, and maybe one caused the other. That is, a heart attack is a blockage of blood flow in blood vessels, and cardiac arrest is stopping the heart. The stoppage of the heart often occurs with what we call an arrhythmia, or abnormal set of heartbeats, that is triggered usually when you have a heart attack, but can be triggered by other things too, such as drug use. I don't know of anyone suspecting that in this case. But in any case, men have risk factors for heart disease, and the younger you express heart disease, the more likely you are not to have collaterals or alternate vessels set up, and the more likely you are to have an abnormal heartbeat and die from it at an early age. So early age is a bad thing. He may have had high blood pressure. He may have had type 2 diabetes from his obesity. He may have had high cholesterol. He may have had some stress. We don't know what was going on. And I didn't hear of any studies that showed that he smoked. But the four things that are most associated with it are type 2 diabetes, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and high stress levels, and, of course, high smoking.
I read the day where it was cardiac arrest.
Yeah, so cardiac arrest is the blood flow isn't necessarily stopped, but you have an abnormal heartbeat. That abnormal heartbeat, if it comes in what we call a vulnerable period of your heart, and we all have vulnerable periods every beat, there's a certain period in what is called the recovery phase that is vulnerable, sets up abnormal ventricular rhythms. So the question is, could he have done something to prevent this in advance? Was this caused by diabetes? Was it caused by a medication he was taking to treat diabetes or something else? Was it caused by a medication he was treating for obesity? Was it caused by some stress he had? I don't know enough about the background that was happening at this time, but basically what it tells you is see your physician once every 5 years after age 20, both men and women, and make sure you've got normal blood pressure, that is 115 over 75. There are 150 different blood pressure medications, so almost everyone can get it there. Get your LDL cholesterol down, learn to manage stress, and avoid secondhand smoke, and you'll be 80% of the way there, and the other 20%, of course, is become physically active and stay thin.
All right, so when the NSA, about a month ago, it was determined they were getting all their information from all the sources we use, Facebook and phone records and everything, there was a run on that George Orwell book, 1984. You couldn't find that anyplace. So when Gandolfini died earlier this week, there's been a run on the Sopranos CDs, DVDs, the box set of all the Sopranos. You can't find those anywhere. And I would imagine now that he died, there's probably going to be a run on everybody wanting to get to the doctor's office to have their heart checked out. Anytime we have something big happen, typically things like that happen with the public.
That's a good thing in this case. In other words, I think running and getting the videos and enjoying them at home with family members, we're going to talk about relishing the time with Daphne Oz in the next segment. So that's relishing your time together, having fun together. That's great. Watching the Sopranos movies, I think, or TV episodes in replay, wonderful. Going to the doctor, even better. because you the interesting thing is 90% of the people who die between the ages of 50 and 70 don't have to. That is, if you look at it, if you just normalize five things and get your flu, get your immunizations up to date, you avoid 90% of heart disease, 90% of cancer, and 90% of infections. So, I mean, it's just amazing, right? All you have to do is, if you will, have a normal cholesterol, a normal blood pressure, normal waist for height, manage your stress, learn how to manage your stress, have no cotinine in your urine, which means no abnormal tobacco products, normal waist for height, we mentioned already, and get your immunizations up to date and a fasting blood sugar that's normal, and you're there. I mean, it's amazing, 90% of the people. So we can do this, and that's one of the interesting things. One of the other stories this week that we'll talk about, Joe, is the AMA saying that obesity was a disease. Does this mean that diseases, we don't have to treat diseases, you don't have to rely on yourself to get lifestyle changes? No. In fact, what it means is that almost all diseases, especially between 50 and 70, are preventable by your actions.
I've got some questions about that story. We'll get to that after the break and spend a few extra minutes with that. But why do men develop heart disease, I think? Why do they develop heart disease at a younger age than women do?
Well, there are three real reasons, or four maybe. One, they smoke more. Two, they have higher blood pressures. Three, they have higher LDL cholesterols. Four, they don't take as good care of themselves. Five, they don't manage stress as well as women. And then, of course, the bigger one is men develop fat around the abdomen because they have testosterone. Women develop it more on the hips. And there may be, and we think there is, a major protection for women with estrogen. Estrogen dilates coronary arteries. So when there's a low level of estrogen, you have the coronary, you're less likely to have plaque develop or less likely to have obstructive plaque develop in your coronary arteries.
Okay, so what does a heart attack feel like? They say if you can cause pain to your chest, that's not the same kind of pain you have when you have a heart attack.
Well, most heart attacks involve a discomfort, like an elephant is sitting on you, or it can be just indigestion, but it's usually in the middle of your chest. Typically, you'll see a guy squeezing his fist in the middle of his chest. It's not a stabbing motion, but it's this gnawing, severe pain, and it can be pretty severe pain. So it's chest discomfort, but it also can occur many other places in the body, in the neck, typically in the upper left arm. Some people have had it in the right arm and have not gone to see doctors. Upper arms and down the arm to the elbow is common, as is the neck, as is jaw pain, even teeth pain. But it is that gnawing pain. It's very rarely a sharp pain.
Yeah, it's not a sharp pain.
And right. You also will have shortness of breath. Sometimes you'll feel nauseated and think this is just indigestion. And then the other thing is you see people break out in a sweat, and it's usually a cold sweat. It's not their sweating because of warmth. People who have, we often tell people who are having a little discomfort and they say, I think it's indigestion. You say, well, walk. And if walking makes it better, it's unlikely to be heart disease because exercise should make heart pain worse because the pain reflects an inadequate blood supply. Now, so if you start to walk a little bit and it gets worse, immediately go to the emergency room.
Do you think if there were a defibrillator around Gandolfini, if there was, maybe there was, maybe there wasn't, but if there had one of those units around, his life may have been saved?
Well, if this was an arrhythmia, ventricular arrhythmia, and you defibrillate it quick enough. That's why we do CPR. We do CPR to keep perfusing the brain and the heart itself till you get a defibrillator, can try and convert the rhythm to normal, and if you can convert it to normal fast enough. So about 20% of people are saved by defibrillators being right there and have a one shock and they're back to normal rhythm, and then we give them some medicine to stabilize it or find out what the cause is. Obviously, that's when you want to take some...
tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, welcome in our guest. Coming up 35 after the hour, Daphne Oz. You know her, Dr. Mike? You know
I do. She's Mehmet's daughter. wonderful. Actually, the book is wonderful. I look at it as a modern-day Martha Stewart book.
She's the co-host of The Chew on ABC. Took over from All My Children after All My Children was on the air for about 40 years. And Well, it's still on the air, so it must be still doing pretty well because it's still on the air. If they don't do well, they take them off the air. So what's her game plan today when we speak with Daphne House?
Well, she's going to talk to us about the book Relish, which is all about relishing the moment, relishing your life, making every moment somewhat special. And we'll talk to her about that because I want to actually find out if that is what she means by it. That's what I took from it. And then if you look at it, she goes into a lot of things about style. One of the, she talks about the elements of a great party, how to dine in style every day, not being a bag lady. Some of the things that she has inside here. And one of the interesting things is it seems to me that she's doing an awful lot in an awful little time. And so a couple of the questions we've gotten ahead of time from our listeners, and you can always send us a question at Gmail, udocs, udocs@gmail.com, or call in. The call-in number, Joe, is 877-711-5611.
Let me verify that. 877-711-5211. Yes, you are right.
5211.
Okay, I was right.
Anyway, you can call in, and but some of the questions we've had already are, how does she do this? How do you relish when you're always hassled for time? How do you relish when you've got some small kids running around and everything going on? Can you just relish watching the kids and playing with your kids? What is that all about? Although I don't think she goes into that in the book, but so anyway, just feel free to send us questions at udocs@gmail.com.
Daphne Oz at 35 after the hour. Dr. Mike's Real Age Tipped to end the hour coming up in a little bit right after.
Well, you want to know what this one is today?
Yeah, fire away, yeah.
Well, this is in honor of what Gary's going to do, is type of plastics to live without. Type of plastics to live without. And there are a couple of plastics you really want to live without because of what they do to your thyroid function. So a couple of plastics to live without, definitely, especially if you're a woman. And Gary Ginsburg will even inform us about those more and than we know now.
Yep. He's our toxicologist, Dr. Gary Ginsburg, weekly on You, the Owner's Manual radio show. Let's go through some of the news of the week in this show today. We'll answer some of your email questions. Your questions, Dr. Mike's answers. Again, udocs@gmail.com, udocs@gmail.com. The AMA has just this week recognized obesity as a disease. What's the motivation?
Well, the motivation is to get better medical care. Get it instead of mentioning to the patient, by the way, you ought to get thinner. This gives if you have a diagnosis there, you can actually spend some time on it. That is, legally, you can get paid for talking to patients about it rather than not being able to get paid for talking to patients about it. So you can get paid for talking to patients about it, as well as they hope that this means that it will be taken more seriously because obesity does cause a lot of other problems. So it causes, and the main thing it causes is hepatic fat accumulation. It causes LDL cholesterol increases. It causes inflammation throughout your body, which increases your risk of heart disease, cancer, and other infections. And it increases your risk of high blood pressure as well. So it does a lot of things that have health consequences. And when you treat it as a disease, you say, let's set these goals. It isn't treating it as a disease and say, this is for, you can't do anything about it. So one of the claims was that, well, if you treat it as a disease, then people will think they can't do anything about it. They shouldn't do anything themselves. No. Obesity is caused by more calories in than expended. What causes that is a number of hormonal shifts and maybe our food choices and portion size. So we get addicted to certain foods. We've talked about that, and we can talk about that more. But this allows physicians to actually try and intervene in it and to make sure people understand, look, this is not just your choices, it's because your hormones, other things are playing havoc. And nonetheless, you've got to make choices that change the way your hormone functions, et cetera.
It's kind of odd because obesity to me is connected with eating and exercise behavior. And it, from what I understand, medical students, they don't get much education in nutrition prescription and very little coursework in exercise. So how are doctors going to treat this with very little background in it?
Well, that's the great news. So what will happen is because of this, doctors will get much more information about it. So you're right. If you look at the physicians, we take care in our executive health program of probably, 1,500 physicians. That is 1,500 other physicians use our services at the Cleveland Clinic Executive Health Services for their medical care. And when we talk to them about food and exercise, it is just like we talking to anyone else, we have to educate them. Because, in fact, that is a deficit in the educational system of physicians, as you said. But they'll get it, and they're going to get progressively more because of this.
Now, I don't understand why it's a disease. In my opinion, it's the unwillingness of people to watch what they eat and the food industry doing whatever it can to make a buck. I mean, don't eat five times a day and 4 pounds at a time. That's what I think obesity is.
Well, there is no doubt that obesity is more calories in than you expend. But some of that reason for eating is stress. That's why we eat comfort foods, and comfort foods get you addicted to them, so you eat more and more of them. So, Joe, it isn't just more calories in. It isn't. If you try and beat obesity with just willpower, that is, I'm going to not eat that donut no matter what it takes today, and all you're doing is willpower, that's what we call dieting hard. And it's like trying to hold your breath underwater. Sometime you're going to have to take a breath. There are tricks, and that's what we want to teach people, and that's what we did in You on a Diet, is teach people. And the reason that's such a successful book is because it does teach people how to avoid, how to diet smart rather than dieting hard. So dieting smart, meaning you avoid the foods with simple sugars, added syrups, any food that isn't 100% whole grain. You avoid saturated and trans fat. And just avoiding those five things means that you're much less likely to get addicted to bad food and much more likely to make it easy and automatic that you'll get full earlier, rather than you have to be, mind over matter and controlling yourself.
But I'm thinking, though, if one-third of America now has a medical condition, that means to me new pills for a new medical treatment. And one of our top stories this week also is nearly 7 out of 10 people in this country take prescription drugs.
Right, and if you look at it, probably 5 out of 10 take diet drugs or something for their diet every year. So this is just saying we should get some rationality. We should teach medical students how to learn about it. We should teach doctors how to treat it. We should teach people how to diet smart, not hard, in a much more easy fashion. But nevertheless, obesity is now our largest cost for medical care. Even if it isn't a direct cost for obesity itself, it by causing the diabetes, by causing LDL cholesterol, by causing hypertension, by increasing the stress, by increasing appearance-related disorders, it's causing a ton of medical cost.
Our guest is next, Daphne Oz, the author of the book, A Relish, an Adventure in Food, Style, and Everyday Fun. Daphne Oz, coming up after the break. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
I am a face of influenza.
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 We all are faces of influenza.
I'm a mom, and I'm a face of influenza.
Health officials now recommend everyone 6 months of age and older get immunized against influenza this
and every year.
Vaccination is safe and is the best way to help protect yourself and your family from contracting and spreading the flu.
We all are faces of influenza.
See your healthcare provider about getting immunized. The American Lung Association urges everyone 6 months of age and older, and we mean everyone, to get vaccinated.
Visit facesofinfluenza.org.
Influenza is serious. So are we. Get vaccinated.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Snowboarding is a popular winter sport. Snowboards look like big skateboards made from fiberglass and plastic. Snowboarders ride their boards much the way surfers do, steering by shifting their body weight. Most can reach speeds up to 40 miles per hour. Twice as many injuries happen to snowboarders as skiers. The most common injuries are to the wrist, usually when snowboarders use their arms to break a fall. The American Academy of Pediatrics does not recommend this sport for children under age 7. For older children, make sure the snowboard fits the child. An easy way to determine this is to make sure the board stands no higher than the child's nose. Children should always wear helmets and gloves with built-in wrist guards, and they should resist trying advanced stunts or dangerous tricks until they've mastered all the basic snowboarding skills. And for more information on your child's health and safety, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Hi, I'm Dr. Regina Benjamin, U.S. Surgeon General. As a family doctor, I've seen the terrible impact of a premature birth. Losing a baby is one of the hardest things a family can go through. As Surgeon General, I see the toll that premature births have on our nation. It can cause lifelong disabilities. It is the leading cause of death in newborns. And our country has one of the highest rates of preterm birth in the world. We must do better. Hospitals need to ensure that babies are delivered early, only when medically necessary. We need research to find the causes of premature birth and research to find new ways to prevent it. Couples need to learn the risk of premature birth and what they can do to have a full-term baby, such as getting a preconception checkup. Remember, 40 weeks is a full-term pregnancy, and every week of pregnancy counts. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies.
I didn't think it was anything.
I had pain in my abdomen. It just wouldn't go away.
I was spotting, but I had already gone through menopause.
These symptoms may be nothing, but they could be early warning signs of a gynecologic cancer, such as cervical, ovarian, or uterine cancer.
Seeing my doctor probably saved my life.
Warning signs are not the same for everyone. If you think something's wrong, see your doctor. Ask about gynecologic cancer. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO for more information. A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Tour de Cure, and it's more than just a bike ride. It's a celebration. It's where every turn of the pedal helps stop diabetes. Where cyclists of all levels come together to make a difference, to raise money, and to raise hope. It's the ride of your life. It's Tour de Cure. Register today at diabetes.org/tour. That's diabetes.org/tour.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Stephanie Oz is the daughter of Dr. Mehmet Oz. She's the co-host of the ABC TV show, The Chew. She's the best-selling author of The Dorm Room Diet, and her new book is called Relish and Adventure in Food, Style, and Everyday Fun, published by William Morrow Publishers. That's a division of HarperCollins. Well, thanks for coming on. I'd be wanting to know, how has the Chew been able to hang in there after, 58 years on the air of All My Children? You guys doing pretty well?
Well, thanks for having me. And you know, it's been fun for us. It's been the last 2 years now. We're wrapping up our second season. And we just feel very, very lucky to be able to chat every day with not only each other. There are five of us on the panel. It's myself, Mara Pally, Clinton Kelly, Carla Hall, and Michael Simon. But more and more, we're able to actually get new audience, and also some of those All My Children fans, they're now tuning in and seeing that they actually are enjoying spending the afternoon with our family and having a little fun and eating some good food while they're at it, which is great. That's what we can hope for.
I admit I was a little depressed when All My Children went off the air, but I gave the Chew a... You got to give a show, like, say, a couple of months, and I got to say that, you know, it's on, and I like it, and you're doing a great job, so welcome to the show. Here's Dr. Mike.
Definitely. Thank you. Thanks.
Daphne, hi. The relish I look at as a, and what you're doing seems to be a modern day Martha Stewart. It's a wonderful book and some great insights.
Oh, well, I thank you for saying that. That's very generous of you. It's funny. It's Relish for me was sort of the evolution of my philosophy on food, which is that, you know, if I want it to be something that I stick with long term in a healthy way, and I want health to be my priority, I still have to make delicious my priority. I still have to make it fun and easy and affordable and convenient and delicious and beautiful. And that, for me, you know, was my philosophy about food when I was looking to lose weight in college, and that's sort of what I talked about with Dorm Room Diet. And with Relish, I wanted to take that same idea of, like, let's make this better life in reach by making things that are, by discovering these really simple tips and tricks that can make it possible for people who are kind of trying to do a bunch of other things, too. You know, this focus on self-improvement isn't that helpful if it requires your entire life to make it happen and you drive yourself crazy with this epic struggle to get there. I really wanted the kind of easy, fun, simple way to improve my food, improve my style and my home, my wardrobe, improve my relationships, my family, my friends, and my husband, and then improve my career and my playtime, my fun, my travel, my time away that feeds my soul. And that's really what Relish was all about.
Now, you talk, I'm going to go through a number of areas that you talk about because I had so much fun with the book. And part of it is because I know you, at least from partially from the time with Mehmet and at your house. So let me ask you, when you left Princeton, you graduated from Princeton, you then had an apartment in New York City, and you had a simple wooden table that you tell the story about you got rid of 2 months early after you got, or at least moved in with John, but before you guys had a permanent kitchen table. There's an important lesson there you told us.
Yes. You know, I talk about in the book, and that lesson sort of comes up in one of the, I have a section of the book called The Hip Homemaker, which for me was sort of this idea that your home could take care of you. And I had spent a lot of time living in what I called white box apartments, kind of insane asylum situations, where I didn't feel, and a lot of people go through this, you know, you don't feel like you're going to be in a place long term. What's the point in investing time, money, effort in decorating it, making it feel like your space? And the reality is, no matter how long you're spending in a place, it is a certain period of time. For me, it was 2 years living in an apartment that didn't feel specific to me. And so my commitment to really going forward now in every space that, you know, John and I are in an apartment together, my husband, and, you know, making sure that space not only looks like us and has our personality stamped on it, but feels like it takes care of us in that way, was really important to me. And I had to realize, you know, I'm a kind of all or nothing person by nature. And I realized that I was stopping myself from having the inspiration to get my decorating going in a very sort of convenient, affordable, practical way. Because I thought I had to wait until I had everything figured out. I could do the entire house over, this, up, the other. And that just, that desire to do it all rather than seeing it as a process and that it's something you collect and sort of curate over time, have fun with, was stopping me from getting to where I wanted to be, which was a home that felt like my own. And the kitchen table story is a great one because, look, I work in food. I love to cook. I love to eat. Sharing that homemade meal with my friends, my family, was so sort of how I showed love. And when I didn't have, I physically didn't have like a space to eat on, we were hovering over the kitchen counter, sort of noshing on little like antipasti things out of their refrigerator every night for dinner, or eating on the floor, Bedouin style, which is romantic for about three meals, and then it gets kind of weird. I realized that I really needed that locus, that place of sort of this is where we come together as a family to eat and to convene and to share the day together. And, what I ended up doing was buying a really cheap, like $40 table on Amazon, having it shipped to me. And even though it wasn't the end all be all, it wasn't the table I was going to have forever, it was the one that actually grounded our home in the interim. And the lesson for me was don't worry about perfection. I mean, you mentioned before, you know, the idea that this is a lifestyle guide, and it really is, but the goal is never perfection. The goal is to get better, and the goal is to live it more fully, live this moment more fully, and not worry about the next step and the next step and the next step.
And one of the other things you state is about a square table and the value of a square table, that you look at one another. Go ahead.
Yes, yes. You know, when I was growing up, my mom had bought this giant round table. It was very King Arthur and the knights, his knights. And there are, you know, there's six of us in my family, but there certainly weren't enough for a 10-foot diameter table. And what it ended up creating was this awkward, like, divide between the family, or too much space. We needed a lazy Susan to get just the meal around to each other, or we had to stand up to pass everything. It was just too large. It didn't fit the space, and it didn't make for a really communal convening at the end of the day where you could share conversation easily. We had to, like, yell to get to one another. So she eventually got back to a rectangular table that I really prefer. And I find that it's a great way to seat a bunch of people because you can always sort of squeeze different people along each side. We always had a bench along one side, which is also great because it's very casual and informal, but obviously you can have tons of chairs. But the best part about it is that you maintain decently narrow distance between the person across the table from you, and you can see everyone, you can engage everyone, which I think is a very a wholesome plan to be able to share what the family meal is all about, which is giving you a grounded center to come back to.
Now, one of the questions we get from our email line, anyone can ask us questions, youdocs@gmail.com. One of the questions we got for you when we tweeted in advance that you were on the show was, how do I do this? I've got two small kids. How do I try and relish everything? Or can I just watch them and relish that? How do I make the time to do better than I'm doing now?
I think that's a totally valid question, and I don't know what her name is, but that's exactly the woman I was writing this book for, because it's the woman that I plan to be one day. You know, John and I don't have kids, but what I realized is that I'm never going to have less going on in my life than I have right now. And you go through your days prioritizing and expending time and energy on the things that matter to you, but it's become very easy to waste time, I found in my own life, doing things that don't necessarily matter to you, but that by habit and just by laziness almost becomes the easiest route. So checking your Twitter stream every 10 minutes, going on Facebook, doing your online sort of perusing and you know, for lack of a better word, stalking of various websites, etc. And if you think about all the time that you spend collectively over the course of a day that doesn't end up being productive, helping you, forces you to live on somebody else's totem pole because you're constantly evaluating your life against somebody else's and all the beautiful Instagram pictures they have showing them and their fabulous friend, this, that, the other, I realized that I was really damaging myself by not prioritizing the things that would feed me and make me make more of a positive impact in my life. And I think, you know, when you have little kids, live that moment, love that moment, because that time will go so fast. But prioritize.
We'll be right back, Daphne. The book is Relish. The website, www.daphneoz.com. We'll be right back with more on the book Relish.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
If you know the symptoms and get the facts, you'll know the signs of a heart attack. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if it sounds familiar, call 911.
Pain in your neck, chest,
arms, or jaw,
shortness of breath,
please tell us more. Cold sweats and nausea, tiredness,
it's time to take it
serious. Back pain, stomach pain, shortness of breath, cold sweats, nausea, dizziness. If you know the symptoms and heed the signs, you'll be around for a long, long time. Women, listen to me, and when I'm done,
If any sound familiar, call 911.
Learn the song that could save your life. Get a free download at womenshealth.gov/heartattack.
Women, listen to me, and when I'm done, if any sound familiar, call 911. If any sound familiar, call 911.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together, we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. While planning gifts for your children, grandchildren, nieces, and nephews this holiday season, don't forget about toy safety. Toys need to match a child's abilities, so always check the manufacturer's age recommendations on the toy first. In general, toy parts should be much larger than the child's mouth to prevent injuries, including choking. To avoid serious eye or ear injuries, steer clear of toys that shoot small objects into the air or make loud noises. The eyes, nose, and other small parts on soft toys and stuffed animals should be securely fastened. If a toy comes with instructions, make sure you read and demonstrate them to the child and make sure she understands the proper way to use the toy. And note, never buy hobby kits such as chemistry sets for any child younger than 12. For more tips on keeping your holidays safe with your children and family, visit www.aap.org. With a Minute for Kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Stephanie Oz, co-host of the ABC show The Chew and the author of Relish and Adventure in Food, Style, and Everyday Fun. Here again, Dr. Mike Royson.
Stephanie, in here you talk about, and by the way, I should say the book is Relish. That's the title, and www.daphneoz.com is a website. You can see more of the information. There are 50 recipes. I should tell you, I did make one myself last night, which is the cauliflower, roasted cauliflower, but I skipped the cheese and used jalapeno. But I just made the what I would call the healthy parts of this, and it was delicious.
Oh, good. So, well, that's wonderful.
So you can modify these, and you've got, for instance, a grilled vegan Caesar salad in there. I mean, there are a lot of absolutely wonderful things in here. Quinoa with chickpeas, currants, and fried shallots. So there's a lot of really great and healthy recipes in here. But one of the things you do in here, it seems like, as you're saying, is grab the happiness of every moment.
My goal was really to make sure that I was spending the time and making the conscious choice to maximize every moment, not be treading water or waiting for real life to kick in or living what I called my placeholder life in any way, because I really felt like I needed to be committing to doing little things a little bit better that would have a big impact. It's interesting because, you know, the way that I think about health, I was 180 pounds when I hit 17, and I really wanted to, I tried every fat diet under the sun. None of them worked, obviously, because they make food taboo, and then it's the only thing you're thinking about. And I really wanted to commit to my healthy life, but still be able to enjoy the wonderful foods that I love. And I found that the only way I could do that and lose the weight that I was carrying around was to commit to what I call healthy, indulgent food. And I, for me, you know, you talk about the grilled cauliflower, roasted cauliflower and grilled cheese. So you put the cheese out, which I think is hysterical because, it still would be delicious because there's that yummy cauliflower and there's the jalapeno aioli and there's the rocket and every other thing, all the other stuff and caramelized onions. But for me, I would rather have the little bit of indulgent taste and sensation that makes me feel like I've indulged and I really enjoyed my meal, relished my meal, rather than feeling like I'm dieting all the time, where I feel like my focus becomes on the food then all day long, as opposed to enjoying my life and really maximizing this moment in the way that I want to make myself happy and healthy and be able to do more in the world because of that.
And so in the book, you not only talk about food and relishing that, but you talk about relishing the way you dress, and then relishing the way you interact with people, as well as the way you decorate. I want to get into the elements of a great party, if you don't mind, because I've watched several of the parties you've had, and they've been magnificent. So one of the things is the elements of a great party. Go ahead. I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot to ask you to remember them in some order or something, but let me talk about the occasion and the guests.
Well, I think just to make it interesting for people, because there is a whole list in there of what I think goes into making a great party. But I think the biggest underlying feature of all those things, like that you just mentioned, and relishing your life in all those different ways, and certainly having a great party as part of that, is I'm a big believer that the world sees you the way you see yourself. So reason I spend all this time talking about making a home that takes care of you, taking joy in getting dressed in the morning, making sure that's an easy process, because I know, having struggled with my weight, that there have been many, many years of my life where getting dressed has not been a fun process, and I go out into the world feeling insecure in a way that I should never. So the idea really is, as good a liar as you may think you are, people will immediately read if you feel insecure, unloved, out of whack, or sort of like lost in your life world. And the idea for this book really was about making sure that in every way possible, in all the different places that feed your life and your ability to feel self-esteem and very happy and secure, that you're taking care of those areas first and foremost, because you present that confident, happy presence to the world, and that's exactly how people will read and respond to you. And I think from the party perspective, the idea is, look, like, you can get great food together, and I have all those great recipes in the book to help you do just that. There's something to be said for creating a party atmosphere. I love candles for that. I love to do mismatched plates kind of in the same color palette, or nice paper plates if that's sort of more your jam. I like to do, there's everything in the book from a casual setup to a very formal, fancy setup that I think is probably a little bit more unreasonable for people at this point, because who has the time? But the whole premise is that your guests will take their cues from you. So you can plan for perfection, but once guests start to arrive, commit to being a guest at your own party. Have a great time. Set that example, and everyone will take their lead from you.
That's the stress-free hostess, which I love, as well as there's a great section in here, which is why I call this the modern Martha Stewart, because there are simple ways to go fancy. There's flower power. There's just some absolutely wonderful tips that Nancy will be, my wife, will be using. Because I'm bringing this book home to her, because it is so great a book. How to take a great picture. Party of 1, 2, or 12. So I love the fact that there's ideas for 1, 2, and 12 in here. Tell me your favorite recipe in here. Now, I've got it, since we're in Cleveland, before I leave, I've got to ask Michael Simon. We consider him the full employment area for the Cleveland Clinic, because everything he cooks at all the restaurants, he has a number of restaurants in and around Cleveland, every one of them features bacon. And I don't think he has even a dessert without bacon on it. So on the show, he comes over, though, with healthy vegetables.
Yeah, one of the things that I find most delicious and wonderful about Michael's recipes in particular is, of course, he's known for his beautiful meat preparations, and he does love his bacon. We call him the Prince of Pork, which is great, because as a chef, his focus is first and foremost on taste and flavor, and he wants to be able to make sure that he's imparting as much of that as possible. And for him, that salty, fatty porkiness of bacon is a great way to elevate a dish. But what he always does is pairs that rich, fatty, meaty dish with a side that's this light, crisp vegetable salad or beautiful, vegetable and sort of citrus marinade preparation. He just is always thinking about what's going to be most pleasurable to the mouth. And for him, that really is the balance of have a small, high-quality portion of a really decadent meat, but then make sure that the bulk of your plate is coming around with this vegetable side that is, by the way, going to make the meat taste better because it's the perfect pairing. So I just love the way that he thinks about food in that way.
Well, we talked right through the tip of the week, so we aren't going to have a tip of the week for this half, for this hour, but the book is so good, we had to talk right through it. Relish by Daphne Oz. It's from HarperCollins, Morrow Division. You can also go to www.daphneoz.com to find out much more about all of what Daphne's talking about. That is style and relishing the moment. It's a great book, Daphne. Thank you very much. Joe?
Thank you both.
Thank you, guys. It's the You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Mike Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.
You tune up your car and change the oil when it's running sluggish, right? Well, then how come when you're feeling low and sluggish, you aren't doing something about it? D-Herbs can help with their full body cleanse or dozens of other healthy, all-natural supplements and products. It's time to finally do something for you. Take a look at D-Herbs quality all-natural products, and you get a free gift, famous D-Herbs all-natural, all-herbal cleansing tea and an ebook with important life-changing information that you can download. It's called The Power of Cleansing. You can heal from any disease. Just go to freedherbs.com. That's free, the letter D, herbs.com, and claim your free herbal cleansing tea. You just pay a small shipping fee for that, and then you can download your free ebook on the wonders of healing cleansing. You'll also get a 15% off discount code if you should decide to make a purchase. Free gifts for you, plus a special gift of better health. freedherbs.com. freedherbs.com.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission, to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.